This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I have Dan from around the bend coming in the studio, bringing a portfolio of beer for us to drink as we dive into that and everything they've got coming up currently and in the future. Do these last 3 weeks away? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, cause you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we got a special guest in the studio today. He's pouring us beers.
Man, this is off to a good start, man. Around the Bend is in the building. I'm pretty excited about this. Now, Dan, how do you say your last name? I don't want to...
Shedler.
Shedler. Oh, that's pretty easy.
Just like it looks, right?
Dan Shedler. Yeah. Dan Shedler from Around the Bend is here.
I get Scheduler all the time. Yeah. I get Schlevler. It's like, no, it's just the D and the L. I don't know. Screws people up.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming in, and thanks for bringing this. It's like a nice little briefcase of beer.
It's the cutest thing, man. It's got little frozen, frozen popsicles on it, and then it goes in the fridge. What's this thing called? The beer pod?
It's called the BevPad.
BevPad.
Or BevPod, I guess. I've been calling it BevPad all this time.
Dude, I carry a backpack all the time.
This is what you need.
That's what I need. It's more like a briefcase. Even on Sundays, I'm carrying a backpack. It's ridiculous. I hate it. The BevPad.
It's pretty rad. Where I need holds 10 cans. 10 yeah. cans get you where you need to go.
We've got over 173 or so breweries in state. We got 70 plus in the city. Uh-huh. Yeah. So these kind of moments excite me because we got a guy on here that, you know, we see his beer and we can grab it. But then, like, we see him at festival and we see the beer at the festival. And we're like, yo, this beer is really fucking good. Like, where are you hiding? Like, so, right? So, like, I'm excited to have, like, that perspective on the show. So
we're trying to hide less. So
cool. Well, you had graciously given us some of the Pretty Little Lights or Pretty Lights around the holidays when that came out.
That's right.
Kicking out. That was great. We definitely enjoyed that. But now you've shown up with all of these different beers and you've poured us this first one, the Pistachio Cream Ale.
Yeah, this is Vera. So Vera is a super unique beer. I don't know of any other pistachio cream ale out in the marketplace, right?
There's not even a lot of cream ales.
That's true.
Right, exactly. And like the ones that are out there are like old man beer, you know.
Genesis.
Yeah, right. I feel like the style got totally disrespected. And it was one of those things that macro or quasi macro breweries took and just like, how do we dumb this down and make it as cheap as possible, right? Mm-hmm. But when you do it right, you know, it can be a really great style. So what we've done is we've taken a pretty traditional cream ale. There's corn in the malt bill, which is traditional for that style. Okay. We add a little Caribbean malt, which adds a little more body, deepens the color just a little bit. As you can tell, it's a little darker than a normal cream ale. But then you add that pistachio flavor to it, and it just takes it over the top and makes it a whole different thing. And I think this is it's a really great example of what we're trying to do at Around the Bend, right? What we do is we take classic styles, we reinterpret them or reinvigorate them with a more experimental edge. So let's take a cream ale, and what would be great with that? How do we elevate that style? Man, let's put some pistachio in that thing.
Oh, yeah. That's funny that my buddy in Michigan, he just, like, messaged me over the weekend. He's like, can we just rename cream ales as boring?
Not anymore, man.
Yeah, I was like, most of them are, but then when they're done right, they are really good. They're just like you said.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why some people stay away from them, right? Because it's like, well, how do we make one but still make it and then sell it? That's a different thing.
Yeah, you know? And the selling piece has been no problem for us with this one. In fact, we did this for the first time 2 years ago when we were still brewing back at Ale Syndicate way back in the days. Yeah. And we did 20-barrel batch of it just because we didn't know how much was going to, you know, what it was going to do. And it sold out in like a week. And then the next year, last year, we did it again in the spring, made 60 barrels of it, bam, out of the Glenn's warehouse in like a week and a half. Unbelievable. Yeah. Did it again as a seasonal. And by this time, retailers around town are looking at me going, you guys are fucking stupid for not making this year round, you know?
Right.
So
just make it already.
Yeah, yeah. So as of this, February, March, it's in the full-time lineup. So this is now a full-timer for us, so.
That's awesome.
Find it all over town. Yep.
Yeah. Now you guys started in Logan Square
mm-hmm.
with Ale Syndicate. How yep. long have you guys been around?
So May will be 3 years. We sold our first keg. We got our licensure approved by the state the day of Bug.
Right on.
2015.
Okay. Right on.
So like we were taking beer there and be like, you know.
That makes sense because I remember I feel like I first saw your beer at the closing festival.
Yeah, Wells Park.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, the logo is really cool. The whole theme. Oh,
the jockey box.
The cover.
Yeah, and then it like you guys really stood out. I was like, who are you? Where'd you come from?
That's true, awesome. Right? Because the name is around the bend, but then when you run into your beers at festivals, well, two things. A, there's always some kind of wacky one-off beer that's really good, and that's what really draws you in. But then also there's a jockey box, and it's called around the bend, but there's like it's like a space nautical theme.
Steampunk.
That's it. And that's exactly right, Brad. Thank you for noticing that. Because, you know, with that, you know, like I say, we're trying to take classic styles and imbue them with an experimental edge, right? Old meets new.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's steampunk? It's Victorian futurism literature, right?
Yeah.
It's this old meets new kind of aesthetic that we're trying to, you know, so steampunk is kind of the visual language for the brand. It embodies what we're trying to do with the beers. So hopefully it all fits together and hangs together.
Yeah, it seems to be working. So how was brewing at Ale Syndicate? That whole project kind of exploded in everyone's
man, rest
face
in peace,
a little
arcade,
bit. But,
man.
Oh,
yeah.
But you made it out.
I heard Jay's moving back to town.
Okay.
Yeah, right, which is cool.
But you made it out in time.
We did. Well, you know, and again, you know, I don't want to speak ill of the dead.
Sure,
There were absolutely great things about that. They gave us an opportunity, you know, to get our feet wet and get off the ground.
We've been to a couple cool parties with those guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
They
absolutely.
Good beer.
Yeah, and their beer was good.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the thing about it is we had already moved a good portion of our volume out of there by the time the troubles came around. So, you know, we had 240 barrel fermenters we had purchased ourselves in their physical space. But it became clear to us that we weren't going to be able to do the kind of volume that we were, you know, trending towards all out of that shared space. And so we had already gone and sought out another partner to help us, you know, produce our beers the way we wanted to. And so we were doing a lot of that volume elsewhere already. So when that did, you know, kind of all finally come tumbling down, we were already pre-positioned. It was still a shock to the system. There was still some pain for us in it. But
yeah.
We didn't go the way of arcade, like you say. So
it was really just moved you forward a little faster. You were already planning for this, and it just was like,
exactly.
All right, well, now we have to.
Yeah. And so, you know, fast forward to, you know, today, or I guess to last year, we started producing beers over at Burnt City in their Southside facility down in Pullman. And it really was kind of a blessing in disguise because it allowed us to make the move from bottles into cans, which is something we had wanted to do anyway.
Yeah.
But once we, you know, when we were already friends with the guys at Burnt City, we did a pre-launch collab with them before we were even a thing, you know, and so
they've been known to do a steampunk prom or two.
Sort of coincidentally, we have very similar aesthetics, you know, as that goes. But yeah, when things went down at Ale Syndicate, I reached out to them and we started talking and. Yeah, it was great for multiple fronts, but the getting into the cans thing was one of the huge pieces of it. So
yeah, it added to the lore too because I was like, "Yo, Ale Syndicate's gone, Arcade's gone," but then Around the Bend
It
just still kept going. I was like, "Good for them, man! You know, they figured this thing out, man."
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm not going out like that.
So you've been doing this for 2-3 years, and then I noticed that, you know, you were marketing for like 20 years.
I was.
Before that.
Forgive me. Yes.
And it was just like, so, but then like, bridge the gap between like your last day there and then like actually brewing on a system like Ale Syndicate. What was in between brewing at Ale Syndicate for the first time and then like leaving this other world, you know?
Yeah, so it was a long journey coming. You know, the exit from the marketing and advertising world. You know, like I say, you said, I spent over 20 years in that world, in that game. Excuse me. And when you start out, it's a lot of fun. You know, when you're a young person, a young account executive, and I was on the account side, not a writer or a creative director or anything. it's a lot of fun. You know, you're flying around the country on the company's dime, your client's dime, you know, staying in fancy hotels in New York, doing TV shoots with celebrities. And but as you progress in your career and you become more and more senior, you do less and less of that fun stuff. And it's more sitting in boardrooms, holding clients' hands, or becoming, I became the client for a while. So I went client side and I was that guy who had all the agencies holding hands. And it just after a while, it started to wear on me, the whole corporate nature of it. It took me 20 years, but I finally figured out that it really wasn't for me, even though I had, you know, kind of progressed in a more senior position. So it was probably 6 years ago now that I actually started looking at building a brewery, you know, okay, developing a brand for myself, taking those skill sets I'd developed in the advertising working world and doing it as an entrepreneur. And so, you know, between 6 years ago and 3 years ago when we launched, it's a 3-year process of, you know, A, doing a market analysis and saying, is this really possible or am I just stupid? Like, I can do this, right?
Like, in your head, this makes sense, right?
Yeah, right. So I took those skill sets I developed, I applied them, did a market analysis. And again, 6 years ago, think about it. Where was Chicago Beer 6 years ago?
So we're talking like 2012. So
Rev was just a brew pub.
Yeah, they were only 2 years old. In
you had Goose and Half Acre.
Yeah,
who had probably just stopped, you know, contract brewing at that point. Not too long before that.
Yeah, everybody else was.
Metro was here, obviously. Mm-hmm. Godfathers,
else was brand new.
Yeah, and that was kind of it, right?
Your Lake Effects, your Pipeworks, like everybody else.
That wasn't even enough.
They either didn't exist or they were brand new.
So when I was looking at it, I'm going, yes, there is an opportunity here. There's a window. Let's do this thing. But then it's, you know, it was a length of time, another 3 years to get the money together, to get, you know, everything. It takes time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so in that 3 years, I mean, how rapidly this market is moving and changing,
fast, yeah.
You know, I mean, man, I just look at it and go, man, if we had launched day one when I said, let's do this.
But, we could be the Half Acre.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. Well, I don't know about that, but it's been a wild ride, so. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
in between
sure.
two
for
things.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I was wondering what was going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right on.
All right. So
what should we open?
After the cream ale, what do we got?
This is our. Let's open this one.
No label.
There's no label in this one. This
only
is
only one of like the eight that doesn't have a label.
Because this is a draft only specialty. We just launched a couple weeks ago now.
Okay.
It's Kiwi Pils.
Oh, right, nice.
On. Now speaking of one offs, we were at. We were at headquarters this weekend.
Yeah.
And
What the Ferk,
their fifth annual Ferk Fest. And we got a chance to try one of your beers. It was a lighter style. I want to say it was on the lager bill side.
Yeah. It's an ale. It's
an ale?
Yeah, wildflower honey ale.
Wildflower honey ale?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. We did that initially for Lucky Door.
Okay.
Made a batch of beer for those guys. We squirreled some away in a firkin, added a little bit of extra lemon zest to it to kind of kick up that lemon kick, because we had lemon in the – it's a wildflower honey and lemon ale. Yeah.
So
it was technically a zwickel, but, you know, a lot of people don't know what the heck a zwickel is. So
that's what made me
called it a wildflower honey ale.
Oh. Pills, the zwickel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that can apply on both sides, it sounds like.
Right.
All right, cool.
That yeasty character.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is a top fermenting ale yeast we use in that one. But
okay, I feel like I know you tried that one, Nick, but I might have missed it. I did have that other lemon one from Founders that was.
Oh, that was like Pine Sol.
That was Pine Sol. Yeah.
It was full on Pine Sol. Yeah, it was bizarre, man.
That's good.
What I notice about you guys, and then I notice about like Beguile, is that you've got a relationship with like you know, restaurants that isn't really like normal for breweries that
how do you mean?
Well, that just started, that just come out the gate, and you're at places like Publican and Owen and Engine almost right away,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm wondering, like,
but it's been 3 years now.
But we were in those spots pretty rapidly too.
I'm wondering, like, how those things come about so early.
Two words: know? Lindsay Stocks. Lindsay is our head of sales, and she is amazing. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
She came to us after having been, you know, the beer buyer at the Whole Foods on Kingsbury, their bar up front.
Uh-huh.
You know, she did all that whole beer program from kind of day one when that came up. Then she went to Windy City. So she had retail, she had wholesale, and come at ATB now she's got, you know, supplier side. So the whole three-tier, you know, system. wrapped up, and she had a great Rolodex, you know, a great set of contacts and relationships, and she's a super hard worker, and she's just a great person. So
yeah. I met her and the hubby on the Chaos homebrew side of things. I want to say,
yeah, because her husband Iggy was one of the co-founders of Chaos. Yeah.
Right on, man. Nice. So. I'm digging this pill. So it's draft only at the brew pub. People can go there, show up.
Not at the brew pub. It's out and around town.
Out and around.
It's
okay.
All over town. We just did a draft only. We just did a little 30-barrel batch of it and kegged it up, and I've been sending it out, and Lindsay sold it all already. So it's out there. You can find it around. I had it today at Holt's out in Park Ridge. Went over there, and they've got it on draft right now. So.
Well, yeah, it seems perfect. Finally, like, the snow is gone for the moment, and so it's like, summer? fruit pills? That's what I want.
Yeah, it's got that, just that little kind of like piquant, you know, kind of sourness, tartness, I should say, up front, and then it just settles in and crush them, 5%.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
Oh, go for it.
Oh, I was just going to talk about Pullman, man.
Yeah.
I feel like historic Pullman, you know, and we talk about it all the time, man, like if Chicago's really going to take its place as like, you know, best beer city in the world, all the breweries can't be in Ravenswood. Right? We have to really, like, there's cool neighborhoods, and it's got to be more of a stretch. Every neighborhood's got to have a cool brewery. What's been your experience like down there? Because your guys are in the old, Jay's Potato Chip Factory.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and down in historic Pullman, man. What's it been like down there?
It's a massive space. So the guys at Burnt City, you know, obviously they were there working out of that space before we, you know, decided to tag along with them. And they've got just a little corner of that building. That building's massive, you know. But it's got a lot of room for us to stretch out and spread our legs in there. And so it's a 30-barrel brew house with 90-barrel fermenters is what they were working with. We brought our two 40-barrel fermenters over, which actually was nice. It gave a little flexibility, right? So continued to do three turns into a 90 and do a big 90-barrel batch. Or now we have the ability to just do a single turn into one of those 40-barrel, you know, tanks and do a smaller batch. And, you know, the way we're doing the labeling down there, it's all, you know, pressure-sensitive labels and inline on the canning line. So you could do a really small run, you know, of digitally printed labels and just bang out a couple hundred cases and be done with it, or, you know, throw out 1,000 cases. So the flexibility there has been fantastic. Ben and John at Burn City are they're good friends, and, you know, they're great brewers, and they've turned out to be good business partners. So, yeah, it's good.
Do you see that Southside beer scene becoming as like the Ravenswood corridor kind of here, or do you think?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Jolly Pumpkin isn't far.
Hyde Park. Park. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Vice guys are doing something over in Homewood, right?
Vice is yeah.
In South Loop, they're going to Homewood Park. Mm-hmm. Homewood.
Homewood.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to say, you know. I mean, we see, I think the real test is going to be, can we get more consumer or customer traction down on the South Side, right? Because you've got a few stalwart spots down there, you know, your Deja Brews and your, you know, Rock Island Public Houses and things like that. But, you know, there's not anywhere near the concentration of great beer bars. Right. Or when we certainly don't see, you know, in package and off sale, you know, doing the same kind of volume down there that we do, you know, on the north side. So it's hard to say. But, you know, at the same time, you got, you know, Horse Thief and Open Outcry, and they're doing great business down there. And
Nick's over down there all the time.
I think it's coming. Yeah. I think it's coming. I think it's just taking a little longer, you know, to quash the Miller Lite culture.
All right. So we have the pistachio and the kiwi. What else do we got? You seem to like the fruit kind of like weird ingredients going on, or not? Maybe not weird.
Yeah,
just,
you know, sometimes we play
unusual,
it straight.
Maybe.
Let's open up this one next.
Yeah, I see the Alesmith. Alesmith's on the
Alesmith logo around the Ben beer. What the heck is that?
What's going on here, man?
So we did a collab with the folks out in San Diego. We actually brewed this beer last year, so this has been cellaring for a little bit now. It is a wee heavy Scotch ale with the most expensive grain bill I've ever put into a beer. Spared no expense. And we, just all the best malts we could possibly source. And we added just a little bit of peated malt in there to get just that. You're going to notice just a very whisper of kind of smokiness in the background.
Now, are they, because you're distributed by Glanz locally.
Yeah.
Are the Ale Syndicate, I'm sorry, the Ale Smith.
You're not the first one to do that.
Are the Ale Smith guys on Glanz as
no,
well?
No, no. So this came about because of our head brewer, Joe. So Joe Cuzzo is our head brewer. He was my first hire, even before Lindsay came onto the team, when I was in that period between, you know, can we do this to pushing the go button. Joe and I hooked up via probrewer.com, and he's been with us, you know, from day one. So Joe is a really experienced brewer. He came up out in the San Diego area. He's worked everywhere from AleSmith to Pizza Port, was interim head brewer at Green Flash for a while. He was head brewer at Coronado.
Oh, wow.
He's won multiple GABF awards, multiple World Beer Cup awards. Joe's the real deal. And so when we were, kicking around ideas, early last year, he said, well, let me reach out to Peter over at AleSmith. And I see, I almost did it there. And we just started the conversation. And Ryan, who's their head brewer, flew out. We, did some back and forth in email, ideation, recipe development. And he came out and we made this beer together and just knocked it out of the park. I love this thing so much and there's hardly any left.
Yeah, I'm almost getting like a coffee or not, a caramel toffee.
Big toffee. Yeah. I get a lot of dark fruit character.
Yeah, that currants, was just coming through.
A little leather wow. And then that smoke, it's recessed, but it's there, right? So again, this is sometimes, what's next, what's around the bend is just playing it straight. So there's no crazy adjuncts in that one, no big process differences. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to make a really great Wee Heavy, and I think we did it.
Yeah, Wee Heavy Cream Ale, man, you guys are rocking these styles. They don't see that often, not the...
It's nice to see, it's nice to see.
How many pale ales does the world need, I guess it's kind of my go-to question.
Yeah. And then you're not shy about the whole portfolio, too. There's like, today you came with like 8 to 10 beers, and it's like a lot of people, they're like playing it safe, like, yo, we're just going to have these four.
I'm too ADD. I can't do it. And we're gonna actually be able to do even more of this kind of thing next year, I think. I hope. It looks like, not getting into too much detail, I can't piss off my business partners because we haven't announced this yet, but... Yeah. It looks like we're going to be moving into another different space that's going to have even more flexibility to do big batches, but a lot of small batches too, like in the 7, to 15 barrel range, where we can really go nuts. And if we have a mistake and something doesn't turn out or people hate it or whatever, it's not going to cost us the business.
Yeah.
Do you
as
see,
a result of that?
Is this? Are you settling into this kind of I was going to say vagabond, but it's not vagabond, but gypsy, because you've only been, are you settling to the space where you kind of like experimenting with neighborhoods and facilities for like a certain number of months and then moving on? Are you becoming someone that's kind of...
I think this next move is going to be a little bit longer term. I think it's going to be kind of a, at least a 5-year, proposition for us.
Okay.
And if it works the way we're thinking, longer than that, right? But, again, without giving too much away, we think this is going to be a first-in-the-nation concept where it's going to be multiple different breweries working out of the same space, sharing a brew house, having a bottle shop so people can take to-go beer and merchandise, and also having a shared tap room environment where each of the breweries will have like a dozen of their beers, each on the wall, having food service on site. So it's... Pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I'm intrigued here.
I'm curious, yeah.
Yeah, as soon as we can make the full announcement of who's involved and where it's at and all that jazz, I will I'll for sure let you guys know.
Mm-hmm. So what's been the best seller for you guys that people tend to gravitate to?
Surprisingly, it's our
IPA.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Again, sometimes you can't swim upstream too fast, too far, right? But Villainous is our IPA. But again, we do it in an around the bend fashion. It's not just a plain old boring IPA. What we do with this beer is we take four different yeast strains, two British and two West Coast, and we combine them. We ferment the beer with all four at the same time. Yeah. And what that gives you is a beer with a really nice, big, juicy start on the palate, but it still finishes almost off dry. So it's kind of like this best of both worlds between the new, you know, kind of any IPA craze and a classic West Coaster, right? Mm-hmm. There's Simcoe, Centennial, Mosaic in that one. So big, huge, you know, floral hop aroma and flavor. But we use a lot of those hops later in the boil. So it's, you know, more aroma and flavor from the hops. And it's not a super, you know, punch you in the mouth with bitterness kind of IPA. And that's what a lot of customers tell us they like about it, right? It's like that arms race with hops, bitterness, you know, from a few years back. It's like, dude, we were talking about IBU beer. I have 100 IBU beers. What?
Yeah, that bitter fight kind of went away, thank God. Like, it was just like wrecking everyone's palate.
Yeah, Eddie Topper and...
Yeah, which they were...
These guys crushed that, right?
Yeah, I think we hit like that Eddie Topper and everyone's like, this is the best one. And no one... like, okay, now we can do something different where the New England IPAs... That's kind of this new craze, but maybe it settles down and it's less about the IPA and maybe just about like that mimosa kind of flavor.
I think what we're gonna see not only with IPAs across craft beer is, you know, for the foreseeable future, just this. I don't know if it's what the metaphor is, a pendulum swinging, if it's, you know, disc spinning or what, but it's gonna keep moving from thing to thing. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't think, you know, we think IPAs are here to stay, right?
IPAs are the exception, but yeah, like this year's is Pastry House, Pastry Stouts and Haze.
Well, but on the other side is the lager crushable, like easy drinking beers.
Everybody's making a pils too,
so
right?
So there's that, and there's like the two ends where people want those pastry stouts, but yet I want something beach summer beer that I can, like a kiwi or something like that.
That's how I think about beer. I think about it as, you know, occasion specific. Mm-hmm. What am I doing? What am I eating? Where am I going? Who am I with? You know, what's the weather like? Those are like the things I think about when I make a choice about what I'm going to drink. Right? Yeah. And people ask me all the time, oh, what's your favorite beer? I'm like, I don't have a favorite beer because it depends on what I'm doing. Depends on what it's like outside, you know? A lot of stuff.
That's true. If you live near a Cuban sandwich place and the dude who runs it is pouring fucking Mellow Light, then that's your
that
beer.
Might be your favorite beer.
That's your beer for the night, you know? Yeah.
Well, Nick's just on this barley wine kick, so he's...
I've been on barley wine heavy. And then, you know, you said something interesting about the yeast strains. You know how most crews have, like, a particular house yeast that they deal with. Like, are you still in that? Do you have a house yeast and that villainous is like the exception to using other yeast? Or
I wish we did for you know, profitability's sake, but because it's expensive to, you know, buy all these new pitches all the time. But we use a different yeast for Ghost Electricity, which is a Kolsch. So obviously a big piece of the character of that beer is going to be using a Kolsch yeast. You know, we'll use Cal Ale as, you know, house strain, I guess, as it were, when, you know, for what we can, when we can. So that's what's in Vera, that's what's in Puffing Billy, Black Forest. But, you know, it doesn't work for every beer, right? Just, you know, Cal Ale's great. It's clean, it's crisp, it's clear, it gets out of the way, it lets other flavors shine through.
That was a
Pilsner yeast, okay. Obviously. Yeah. Can't have a Pilsner without a Pilsner yeast.
So you said the IPA is the best selling one. Are most people finding your beers on draft, or are they picking it up on the can? Like, how are people,
for most production breweries, right? You're generally going to be heavier on package than you are on draft, just because that's where the volume is in this game. We were upside down on that for the first year and a half, maybe almost 2 years. We've, you know, kind of righted that ship now. I would say we're not, you know, quite where you would normally think your percentage of package would be. Last year we were closer to 50-50.
Okay.
You know, so.
Yeah, I asked because the flavors stand out as a bar or restaurant are going to sometimes look for something that fills a hole. And you guys kind of fill that spot where, like, the kiwi kind of fills this, like, sour, and the cream ale fills this. So it's like this.
And, you know, that works for us in a lot of locations around town. It works against us in some places, too. They're like, your shit's just too weird for me, man. I'm not our customers aren't going to, you know. I'm like, well, just take the Kolsch then.
Where's your hazy, you know, IPA, man?
The IPA's normal. It's, you know, whatever.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I've been we've been drinking your beer on here a few times, especially that Pretty Little Light or Pretty Lights, and yeah, it's always enjoyable and like seeing what you guys are doing.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I can recall being at Bug and enjoying like a one-off, or I think we chatted a little bit at the one in Navy Pier. I forget the name of that one. I think it's like Sierra Nevada's beer.
Yeah, the beer camp.
The beer camp. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I can go to Benny's and see like a full, you know, five or six on the shelf, but then I can go to the festival and see stuff like we did Sunday that has nothing to do with, you know, the stuff on the shelf at the store. And it, you know, it's like, yeah, and those guys brewing here.
And like I said, I'm excited, you know, for next year if this thing comes together like we think it's going to. We're going to be able to do even more of that, right? Mm-hmm. And continue to have kind of the core four is, you know, Ghost, Vera, Villainous, and Billy. Have those continue to be on the shelf, pepper in a seasonal, you know, here or there. But then in, you know, for the draft market, for the on-premise market, you know, just be sending out random, you know, weirdo kegs just kind of nonstop. And that's where it's going to get really fun for those bars that want that kind of thing, right?
So that's in the long term. Anything in the short term that people should keep an eye out or look for?
Well, if you have a big listenership in Ohio,
okay,
we can let everybody know we shipped our first shipment of beer went to Ohio last week and started hitting shelves this week. So we are growing. That's our first foray outside of Illinois. Okay. In addition to Chicagoland, we're already in Rockford and the Quad Cities.
Okay.
With somebody on the team likes to party in, like, Cleveland because it's only an hour flight. Right?
Lindsay's actually from Cincinnati. There we go. So, all right. You know,
I'm just waiting for the Hyperloop to get built from Cleveland to Chicago, and that would be good.
You need a high-speed train, man. That would be so dope. Get on a train and just bring a case of beer with you and wake up here in the nasty natty. Yeah, so we're excited about that. That's going to be big for us as a company, hopefully. And then, you know, it's full steam ahead with trying to get that new facility open. But beer-wise, for this year, we're bringing back, as our summer seasonal, Maui Gold, which is a session IPA, 4.5%, 100% Citra hops, and just a kiss of pineapple.
Oh, okay. So,
love that. That's a really lovely beer because you can't drink beer in the summertime. You have to crush it, right?
Yeah.
That's a, like a requirement now, I think. So that's a real crusher. Yeah,
Skull it, bro.
That Beechwood.
That's a new one. I hadn't heard that one.
Goose Island. I heard that. They're like, just skull it, bro.
Skull it, bro.
But I like the hint of pineapple because if you go the other way, you have that like big pineapple from the Beechwood from Temperance. That's that's a lot of pineapple, and you can have, like, one of them, but you're, like, really sticky.
Yeah. It's actually...
It's good, but...
Yeah, that's what people liked about it last year when we had it around. They're like, oh, I get the pineapple, but it's, like, it's not, you know, beating you over the head with it, which I don't like to do that with adjuncts. I like to try to get it just in that right place where it's, like, it's there, I notice it, but it's not...
Yeah, I think you have to go either, like we said, the pendulum. You have to go, like, a hint where you like it or just, like, this is all pineapple. Like, this is the pineapple beer. Let's go.
What are you thirsty for next?
Are you going to go? Where do you want to go? You want to try the Stay IPA? Or we've later. Had the IPA. Let's do the Billy.
Yeah, there's Billy and Black Forest. Yeah, one of those. Puff and Billy sounds good.
Puff and Billy is good. So this is our American Brown Ale finished with cacao nibs, which is just fun to say.
Cacao. Now, which one came first? What was the first beer you guys rolled out?
We came out with Ghost Electricity and Rest in Peace Silk Road.
Oh, yeah, Silk Road. What was Silk Road?
Silk Road was an American Pale Ale brewed with Galangal, which is like Thai ginger.
Okay.
Nobody knew what the hell Galangal was, so we kept explaining it over and over and over again. But that was a great beer, but it was polarizing, right? And so it was like we had people who cried when we, you know, pulled that one from the lineup because they loved it so much. And then, but then there was a whole nother, you know, portion of the market. It was like, man, ginger's not my thing. That's not. So, you know, when you're real small, you kind of need to be hitting on all cylinders when you have just a couple beers in the market. But then Puffing Billy was the third one that we brought in the fall of the first year we were around. And so this is actually, so Ghost and Silk and Billy were the three recipes that I worked on as I was trying to build the brewery, you know, pre-launch, and I brewed nothing but that. And as a home brewer, which I had been, I guess I started home brewing like 26 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, back in college. So that's how dating myself, that's how old I am. But as a home brewer, it's kind of anathema to like keep brewing the same shit all the time, right? Yeah. Usually, like, I'm going to brew a stout, and then I'm going to brew a, you know, pils or whatever, you know. But I did nothing but those three and just worked to try to get them right, try to get them right. And then when Joe, when I found Joe and he came up here and, you know, tasted the beers, he's like, you know, scribbling some notes, like, here, do that. Rebrewed them and they're like all like way better, you know. So, nice. But this is the beer that he actually made the fewest comments on.
Okay.
Puffing Billy, yeah. So this is pretty much, you know, my recipe from start to finish. And what I was really trying to do is, you know, with a lot of American style brown ales, it's like you get this big note of piney hops, like for me, getting in the way of the malt. And I'm like, I never understood that. It just doesn't seem to go as well. So we backed off the hops a little bit and add the cacao nibs at the end in the bright tank. So you get that chocolatey aroma and flavor, you know, complementing the chocolate malt that we
brew with.
Feels
richer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
That's funny you mentioned like brewing that same beer over and over again. We've talked to brewers now who were home brewers where their house is just like full of beer. That's like, we've probably broke the rules of like how much a home brewer can actually brew. And it's just like, there's beer all over. We can't drink this all. It's
oh my
just,
God.
Like,
I'm constantly dumping bottles. And it's like, I'm never going to get to this batch. I need the glass to put the next one in, you know?
So. But when you start out home brewing, you're like, this beer is the best. Whatever it is, it may suck. I will drink every drop of this beer. Yeah, you get to that level. It's like, I have nowhere to put this beer. It's in the bathtub. I have to shower.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm starting to stink here. Yeah.
And then you guys took home, I want to say like 9/11 Ales last year. I think
yeah.
You guys took home like champion beer.
That was for Vera.
Okay.
Yep. Right on. Vera works in a cask very well. Mm-hmm. It's like pistachio gelato, you know, like melted right in a glass. So, nice. Yeah, that's a great festival. Steve Hamburger and the guys over at Chicago Society do a great job with that.
Did you guys go or have a beer this time?
We actually had Vera again and Kiwi Pils.
Okay,
we brought over there
because we talked about this last year. We didn't hear about it. It wasn't really.
Oh, really?
Like, I am a Chicago Beer Society member, and I get, you know, the letters in the mail because that's how they work.
And you still missed it.
I didn't even know about it. I didn't get a letter. So it was kind of strange that for some reason it flew under both of our radars, and we do a show about events. So.
That is kind of nuts.
Yeah. I don't know.
Says something about the marketing.
Yes. I have so. Did you go to it or did you just sign?
I did. They always have a brewer's hour.
Do you feel like
first hour and
same turnout, good turnout?
I just go for the brewer's hour and I leave.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think there was a Cub Scout meeting that afternoon I had to attend. But no, the beers that were on display there this year were, again, of such a high quality.
Oh, yeah. They're always
That's one of my favorite, you know, little festivals of the year. Really,
and it's a little better that it's the charm at Goose Island Clybourne or at Goose Island Wrigley was nice, but the farts got out of control. But now that it's moved, it's a little less farty and you have a little more space.
Yeah, because at Goose Wrigley,
wow.
they have like a garage space that they clear out just for that party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they did. There's not even a building.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's gone now.
Goose Wrigley's no longer.
Dude, I drove by there 2 days ago or whatever. I was like, what?
What are those? It's like hotels and shit now, right?
Mm-hmm. It's like a big complex, yeah.
I think they're trying to do that.
Wrigley, not Fenway.
No, they're mirroring. Because that's
Fenway's the same way. It's got all retail and entertainment complex all around the park, and it's a couple $2-3 I spent up there. That's gonna be pretty wild.
That's cool. Well, Dan, thanks for coming on. This was great. A lot of fun to hear what you guys are doing and try like the lineup. We'll pick some up like we said on the show every now and then, but we don't get to have them all.
Guys can keep the rest of these and drink at your leisure.
So. Yeah, man, you've got old world flavors that you've kind of like tweaked a little bit and made them a bit more interesting for the fickle modern crowd.
Yeah,
we're excited about that because we like old man beers, but this is like an updated version of those, which is even more exciting.
So. One of the things that we really try to do is we try to make the beers approachable for everybody. So if you're not like hardcore craft beer nerd, you're still gonna find something to enjoy about it. But if you are that hardcore craft beer nerd, you're gonna go, oh, I see what they did here. That's really interesting. That's really cool. I like that too. So it's kind of it's walking that fine line, right? Because we're not like brewing Bloody Mary beers and like super crazy stuff. But
and I hate the term like old man style, but I think, you know, it just kind of speaks to where we're headed or where we are even. But yeah, like, but those, like, it's an ode to the past. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good way to say it.
An updated ode to the past.
I like that. So. An ode to the past. Nice. Cool. Well, thanks you guys for your time. I really, this has been fun.
So where can people find out more about what Around the Bend is doing or you're doing? Like, what's the best place to keep track?
Facebook is probably where we have the most up-to-date information. So find us at Around the Bend Beer on Facebook. It's kind of long, but just Around the Bend was taken, so.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't even know what it is. It's something else. But that's good. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. ATBBeerCo.com is the website. Mm-hmm. You know, or just give me a call.
Sounds good.
Be happy to chat.
Yeah,
that's good. He slid into his radio voice.
Oh yeah, right, the radio voice. Yeah.
Nice. How about you, Nick? Where can people get in touch?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website ChicagoBeerPass.com. Everything's posted there. We're blowing up Instagram, especially this past weekend at What the Ferk and Stout Fest. So. Yeah. Be sure to follow us there. Always posting lots. And we have an interview with Forbidden Root coming up.
Yeah.
So keep a lookout for that. Nah, it's a couple weeks.
17.
It's a couple weeks. So, yeah. And yeah, we'll be back next week. Take care.
Cheers.